Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this place and to this time to celebrate God's amazing presence among us and in this world. And a special welcome to any of you who are visiting or newcomers in our midst. We welcome Jim Chisholm into our midst. Jim, who's been the fabric of this congregation for a long time. He's been languishing in Seychelles all this time, and so glad that you came back to God's country and able to, you know. And welcome to all of you. And we gather for coffee and chance to visit after the service, and I hope you'll feel welcome to be a part of that. Let's begin our time together singing Never Ending Joy. We tried this a couple of weeks ago. Never Ending Joy. Numbers on the corner got me fooled on that one. There's one we've done for a while, a song that we often use to gather because it's all about opening our hearts and opening our minds and opening our lives. And I want to give you a different groove to this one, okay? So I'm going to give it to you, and Gina, see if you can pick it up. Right. what's that? First chord of that one. Open up. What's that chord? F.
Thank you.
within the creation, within all life. As we open to that holy presence in quiet, you will notice the symbols of our faith coming before us. And when you notice that, I invite you, if you are able, to stand and greet the presence of the Christ. Before God in this place, our loves and our tears, all that encompasses our lives. And we long to see the light of Christ shed upon us. We long to hear a word of wisdom. We long to feel the blessed waters of God blessing us. We long to know the comfort and the power of lives offered in prayer. And so we bring ourselves to all we are and all we have here. Let us worship. Please be seated. I just offered you a litany of what we bring here. A litany that includes everything that has happened, everything that we have thought, everything that has created us since we first took our breath. We bring our families and all that they have meant to us and all they mean to us. We bring our community. We bring a world in which, well, a year ago today, it was a devastating earthquake and tsunami in Japan. And we bring our connection with people and that event and those pain-filled people within the human family. So many threads in our lives. I invite you to just take a moment to gather up the threads of your life and behold the gift of it. Behold the struggle of it. And we will come to God in prayer. Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, Thank you for this glorious, perilous life. Thank you for the smile of a child which lightens our day. And all the yearnings that for this world that go with that. Thank you for the friendships that give color and texture to our living. Thank you for the community, this community here at Northwood, and all the circles of community that surround us. Thank you for all who have gone before us, who have taught us the ways of justice and peace, who have illustrated with their lives, demonstrated what radical love and grace means. Thank you for all who will come after, who will also be our teachers. Hear our prayer for this world. Especially today, we remember the people of Japan who continue to rebuild. Hear our prayer for all who are sick or grieving or lonely or distressed. We have gathered some names. We bring some within our hearts and minds, and we take a moment now to name them in the quietness of our hearts. And finally, O God, we bring ourselves to you. We who are on this Lenten journey to the cross, help us to deepen in that journey, to find strength and hope in that journey. Be at work in our lives with your healing, transforming power. We pray in the name of the one who, in whom we are trying to live, Jesus our Christ, who taught us the words that we now say together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul is one of those people who, in the very earliest stage of the Christian story, gave words that have continued to echo through our faith, continued to give us assurance of God's presence. And Paul said, the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. The path we walk, folks, is foolishness, because it lays claim on something that we cannot see. It lays claim on a hope that is beyond us. It lays claim on a grace that we can't even act out faithfully. And all of that is because it lays claim on a spirit which was alive in Jesus, which continues to course through this world. Friends, we are not alone. And the foolish path we walk is rooted in a deeper wisdom, a wisdom of the presence of God, the healing power of God, and the grace which will set us free. This is the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I'd like to invite I'd like to invite anyone that would like to come up here and look at what today's theme is, to come join me in a circle up here around my computer today. Several weeks. And this is the third Sunday of Lent, which is the season that we are heading, what we're in, heading towards Easter. And so some of those images are created by artists. So I have one to show you. I have a few to show you, but let's start with this one. You might need to get a little closer, and we can make it bigger. I wonder what you see in this picture. It looks like Jesus. Say that again. With really long hair. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what you see. What do you see, Claire? What do you see, Emily? He doesn't look happy. I wonder what Jesus is feeling like in this picture. He looks like he's mad. Disappointed. Yeah. Okay, let's move to number two. All right, here's a different one. I wonder what you see here. What's different from the first picture or image that we saw? White is surrounding around his head, yeah, and black in the background. And he's closer. I wonder how he's feeling in this picture. How's Jesus feeling? Don't know. You don't know. So sometimes when we look at images, we don't know. What do you think, Emily? He looks like he's cross. So maybe upset or mad. Exhausted. Okay, my third picture of Jesus. I wonder what Jesus looks like here. Victoria, do you have an idea? Mad? Yelling. What's he doing with his hands? Can you show me? Yeah. I wonder how Jesus might be feeling in this picture.
say that? Prized? Prized. Praised? Praising? Maybe he's praising? Do you think that this picture is different from the other two pictures? Yeah? His mouth is open. And his hands up, and there's a building, and he's got different kind of clothing on. They're ripped clothing on his hands. Yeah. Blue sky versus white. Yeah. I wonder, when we look at these three pictures, what do we think about Jesus? Do you think that Jesus might feel exhausted sometimes? I wonder if there are stories, different kinds of stories we can create by seeing these pictures of Jesus. We're going to wonder some more, and we're going to sing and then head to Children's Church.
Today we read the familiar story of Jesus clearing the temple of the money changers. Every gospel includes this story, but each does it a little differently. In John's gospel, it takes place at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, whereas it occurs at the end in all the others. As well, John uses the term Jews to refer to the religious authorities who were trying to maintain control in Jerusalem. Jesus himself was Jewish, and so were all of his followers. The religious leaders, however, found him threatening. Today's reading tells us why. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here and stop making my father's temple into a marketplace." His disciples, I need glasses. Excuse me. No, I've got cheaters here. I thought I'd do it without, but I can't do it. Okay. Okay. So we continue. He overturned the changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Now I can go.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, and the meditations of our hearts, and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay. I have an unusual request for you. I want you to cast your minds back to Christmas Eve, okay? And imagine yourself in Westminster Abbey, where there is a gorgeous boys' choir singing, okay? Imagine that. And they're singing one of the great ones. Once in royal David's city. Imagine it. I have to go into falsetto to really give it to you. Stood a holy cattle stall. Okay. You got it? Are you there? Are you there? It's one of the great ones. Hey? Great hymns of our faith. And, there's a verse in Once in Royal David's City that just, well, actually it kind of cracks me up every time I hear it. It goes like this. And through all his wondrous childhood, he would honor and obey, love and watch the lowly maiden in whose gentle arms he lay. And then comes the real kicker. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. How's that for a prescription for the perfect little Victorian child? Yeah. Did you know that we know absolutely nothing about what kind of a child Jesus was? Well, okay, so we've got one little story. 12 years old in the temple, and the only thing we know about that is he didn't do what his parents asked him to do. Where did that come from? That gentle Jesus, meek and mild thing. I think that in Victorian England, as often in 21st century Canada, we create Jesus in our own image. Or we create a Jesus we want to peddle to our children for our own purposes. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is a stoic kind of character whose emotions, well, if he had them, were always kept in check. Now, leaving aside the whole business of not actually having stories upon which to build this gentle Jesus, meek and mild, leaving that aside, today, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, just flew off the handle. He blew a gasket. And it probably wasn't the first time. Jesus goes to the temple in Jerusalem and sees the trading going on in the court of the Gentiles. And he loses his cool. And what was he so mad about? Well, I mean, imagine this for a second. For hundreds of years, the people of God have been living primarily an agricultural life around the city of Jerusalem and showing their devotion to God by looking at their flock, looking at what is growing in their yard and taking the very best of it up to the temple and offering it. They found the very best that they could offer. What they offered to God was a fragrant offering over which they had labored themselves. In other words, they had offered something close to their heart, precious, something that held a connection with their life. And now, in Jesus' time, many people from around the city are coming long distances. Couldn't cart the young sheep or the young goat all that way, didn't really want to. The pattern of sacrifice in the day had been established, and business had grown up around it. Sell your goods to the traders, who would then bring them to the temple and make a healthy profit selling it to folks coming from a distance who couldn't bring something to offer. And the sellers hoped that the worshippers wouldn't look too closely at what they offered, but because they didn't have a personal connection with what they were offering, they probably didn't. Make a deal, find a price, make a deal, and if it's just before Passover, you got limited time, so you can really make a deal. The worshippers would be desperate, like looking for that Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. Anything will do. And Jesus looks at the sleazy cheapening of the sacred acts of his people, and he says what other prophets have said before him. Your heart is not in this. You have turned this sacred place into a strip mall. And he turns over the tables of commerce, not because commerce is bad, but because that which is sacred is being desecrated. Rend your hearts, not your garments. In other words, I want what is most precious to you all the time, not just the prescribed animal on the specific day in the designated place done in the appropriate manner by the appointed people. Yes, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, blew a gasket over what is sacred. The issue was the spoiling of the souls of the people. Well, I want to tell you, friends, that gentle Jesus, meek and mild, never existed. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, was a creation of that Victorian society wanting to keep a generation or two of children obedient. And in the process, as Dorothy Sayers put it, we have efficiently pared the claws off the Lion of Judah, turning Jesus into a household pet for pale curates and pious ladies. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting it. I'm suggesting perhaps that there are some pious young men out there who are happy about it too. Some have liked the way gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is so easy to live with. But gentle Jesus, meek and mild, the declawed Lion of Judah, will never change the world, bring about the kingdom of God, or even inspire us to live fully and freely and vibrantly. And besides that, I don't believe he ever existed. I do believe, however, that we need to lay poor, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, to rest and rediscover Jesus the revolutionary, the one whose blood boiled over that day in the temple, the one whose grief overflowed at the death of his good friend Lazarus, the one who looked across the valley at the temple, the sacred place of his people, and wept for what had happened to this hub of love and justice. And after we have laid gentle Jesus, meek and mild, to rest, and we begin to rediscover a Jesus whose angers and passions and griefs and loves and longings are real and sometimes hot and still holy, we may also begin to discover our own angers and passions and griefs and loves and longings that are sometimes real and hot and still holy. There is a whole lot more to faithfulness than politeness. I remember a good friend, when I first moved to the Arrow Lakes, began in ministry, getting to know these little communities, and there was a conference minister, somebody who would trip around and visit the congregations and the ministers and try and help the communities. His name was John Robertson. He died a few years ago. He was instrumental in keeping me from running screaming from the church in fear of ministry. He gentled me into it. Well, John one day said to me, "If one more congregation tells me that their mission in life is to be friendly, I'm going to throw up." It's got to have more courage and grit than that. Friendly's fine. There's got to be more. In the United Church of Canada, we have known this in the past. We have had a reputation for being the outspoken, courageous social voice within the Christian sphere. We have been known as a place of courageous welcome, of fierce commitment to social justice. Joanne Ward wrote a little history that I read this last week, passed it on to me. Thank you, Joanne, for that, because it drew on a history within North Surrey United Church, and it talked about being connected in the community and being a place where people are fed and clothed and a difference is made. A risk is taken. But in recent years, it has been harder to be courageous. Concerns about our future have dominated our consciousness, either because we have had our own issues within the congregation or within the wider church, or we have simply just felt like we've lost our traction in the public arena. Nobody seems to care what we think. Well, friends, I believe we are coming to a time when we can listen again with eagerness to the Lion of Judah. When we can come out of our protective shell and look around and rediscover the grit and the passion of the gospel, which has been here all along. Find the places of suffering that really touch us, as Derek Evans would say. Find the places of struggle that really heat up our blood. And go there. God understands the time we have been through and our struggle to find traction in a commercial world that doesn't seem to care about a message of justice and peace if it costs too much. But I believe that God is calling us to offer our best, most passionate, most real, even sometimes angry, most uncensoredly honest selves unleashed in the world. We don't need to hold back so much. We'll be okay if sometimes we look foolish, but real. Gandhi said, "I have learned through bitter experience to conserve my anger, and as heat conserved is transmitted into energy, even so our anger can be transmitted into power, which can move the world." We don't need to be afraid if it runs a little hot. The Lion of Judah knows what that's like and calls. It is time, I believe, for our true hearts to come forth. Amen. The Lion of Judah calls us to not hold back. Amen. And now let us continue in our worship as we bring before God our offerings. And while we're doing that, there's a few things I'd like to fill you in as Northwood is in service and action in this world. Coming up soon, at the end of this month, on Saturday, there are two programs in the last weekend in March, two programs for seniors. The Gray Power Weekend, the first being a Saturday program for seniors. There should be an insert in your bulletin. Did that make it to the bulletins? Excellent. Take a look at that. The second involves Marion Best, former moderator of the United Church of Canada, being here to lead a workshop in eldering. The wisdom you have gained over the years is valuable. It's very valuable. The church needs it. Your children and grandchildren need it. She offers a way of sharing that wisdom and receiving as well. So that's the Sunday afternoon and Monday of the same weekend. If you want to know more about that, just talk to Carrie. Members of the Pastoral Care Committee who've been working on it, and there's sign-up sheets for both of those on the kiosk. This afternoon, 4 o'clock, Karen Graves, great vocalist and sax player, is here with three other musicians for Jazz Vespers. So it's going to be a wonderful event. I told her the theme is talking about a revolution. The theme of the day is talking about a revolution, and she's run with it. We had a wonderful conversation. It's going to be some great music. Next week, I will be away. I'm taking one last week of holidays before the end of June while my kids are on holidays on spring break. So Scott Reynolds will be leading worship, and he has been doing some reflections on some of the same stuff that we've been talking about, the meaning of the cross, the meaning of Jesus in our lives. Further down the road, Palm Sunday is the first day of April. And all fools are called out on that day. All of you holy fools, come and walk the path towards the cross, which is foolishness to those who can't see it, but to us it's the wisdom of God. We're going to be walking the journey of the to the cross in worship. And I would want to invite anybody who would like to participate in that. There's times to read. There's times to simply be one of the characters without words to say, create tableaus. There's real opportunities there. So please talk to me if you are interested in participating in that. Talk to me after church. And today is the final day for Purdy's. As we think about Easter, the order needs to go in today. Jacqueline, can you let people know who you are? Jacqueline is the one to talk to about that fundraiser for our church. Okay. Now, one final thing. Northwood Reads Book Club met on Wednesday and chose The Red Tent for our for this month's novel. We have tried to get it in a book club package from the library, and it is not available to us. So book club members, talk to your friends. There are a few copies kicking around. We had one in the library. There may be others here who have. Who has The Red Tent? Okay, if you're in the book club, well, you folks would be welcome to come to the book club, right? You know that. But if you're in the book club and you're looking for a copy, I wonder if we could sort of lend it around a little bit. So just so we don't, it's less expensive that way. All right. Now let us bring before God our offerings.
What can I bring? What can I say?
the gifts of this life, we give you thanks, the gift of bread, the gift of land, the gift of each other, the gift of meaningful work that produces what it produces, that we might offer it here and in our lives in gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Our communion hymn is "Eat This Bread and Never Hunger."
Invites us to this table, and Christ made no barriers to the tables around which he gathered. He didn't ask you about your life before you come. He didn't say to you, well, perhaps you should come, perhaps you're worthy. Nothing of the kind. But rather he said, come all, come broken, come as you are. Come with those you love. Come with those with whom you've got a disagreement. But come to the table and know the blessing and the nourishment of God. And so, friends, no matter who you are or where you come from, you are welcome at this table. We receive a communion in the following way. There will be four stations, one in front of each section, and invite you to come to the, if you're on the outside aisles to come, or sections, to come by the outside aisle and return to your seat by the pillar aisle. And if you're in the two middle sections, to come by the middle aisle and return to your seat by the pillar aisle as well. And there is bread and rice cake for those for whom wheat is a problem. Bread and rice cake, and I invite you to just take a piece and dip it in the cup and receive in that fashion. God be with you.
And also with you.
We gather around the table with open hearts and open hands.
We come open, ready to be with God and each other.
Let us bring our gratitude to God. Let us pray. O God of our ancestors, we recall the stories we have been told of all you have done in this world, of stars exploding into life, of galaxies spinning in ever-expanding circles of forests teeming with life and rivers cutting canyons through the land. We recall the stories of all you have done in the human communities, of great teachers and prophets who have inspired us, Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Jesus, and others since, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and so many others that we can name in our own hearts. You have brought us manna in the wilderness, water from the rock, freedom from slavery, and you have offered us a pathway of justice, peace, and radical love. And so we join with all creation, singing our song of praise to our Maker. Today at the table, we live the sacred story once more in this bread and wine of those times and places when Jesus, your beloved, took bread and talked of betrayal and promise, companionship and trust, breaking and sharing with it and sharing it with them. Remembrance. Renewal. He took the bread and broke it and shared it, asking them to remember him in the breaking of the bread. He took the cup also and filled it up, offering it to them, asking them to remember him in the sharing of the cup. Great source of our life, we pray that this bread becomes in us the bread of life and living, that this wine becomes in us the wine of blessing and rejoicing. And that in this meal, your Spirit inspires us to live your sacred story of grace, love, and freedom. Amen. As this grain, once scattered in the field, has now been brought together into one loaf, so may we, with different needs and different hopes, come together as one in the sharing of the bread. In remembrance of Jesus our Christ, take and eat, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The cup which we share is the cup of blessing, the new covenant witnessed by Jesus and written on our hearts. Take and drink deep, Jesus Christ. Friends, would you join me in prayer? O God,
for the bread we have eaten, for the wine we have tasted, for the life we have received, we give you thanks. Now we pray that the grace we have received in this place might so deeply settle in our souls that we might live your love and life with all we are and all we have. Let your Spirit give our words and our actions holy energy and wisdom as we leave this place. Amen.
Closing hymn is I Feel the Winds of God Today.